No, it's the girl I'm living with.
What?
It's not what you think. She's only 16 years old.
It's worse than I thought.
To Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
And John, what is this Alf that we so readily splain? I mean, is it possible for a human to splain? I don't know.
I think we can't splain Alf any more than the nation already is splained about Alf. But what we do hope to do is bring a bit of colour and interest to your already fully splained Alf knowledge.
That's fair enough. It's an episode by episode saunter through the sitcom Alf we're doing basically here from a British perspective, which means obviously we're in three-piece suits holding a jug of beer in the street
with bowler hats. Don't forget the bowler hat.
Yes. And that's what we're dressed like now, in case you need to picture it at any point. And it is fitting because the episode is called For Your Eyes Only, which is a song.
It's a song. It's a song by Sheena Easton.
It is. Wee Sheena from Bell's Hill.
From the film of the same name.
Yes. A fairly recent reference.
Yeah.
Considering. But this is an episode that went out in America on November the 3rd, 1986. And pretty much same ratings as last time. 15.5 million and the 23rd most watched programme of the week.
They're probably happy with that, aren't they?
It was going on like a little train just chugging away. just finding its way. Just getting there. Steady on. I can tell you the director was, as we've now established, Peter Bonners.
There he is.
Much less fun. Yeah. So I can tell you this episode was written by Mitzi McCall and Adrienne Armstrong. I looked at Mitzi McCall, predominantly an actress. She was on Rowan and Martin's Laughing, as well as a lot of cartoons, including the classics, Gravedale High.
At
Yo Yogi and the Snorks.
Of course.
But she still keeps her hand in, you know, in front of the camera in human form. She played in an episode of Hannah Montana, Woman.
Oh, right. I remember. That was a great character, was Woman.
Right, it inspired John Lennon to write all about her in the past.
She must, Mitzi McCall, she must be at least 150 by now, then, if indeed she is still alive.
Let's have a look. Mitzi McCall. I don't know why I'm doing it to the tune of Baby Don't Cry. She's still alive. Her age is not on her Wikipedia, which suggests
it's significant.
Scrubbing. But she's apparently been working since 1940. Actually, 1932. She was born.
Christ.
1932, and she's been acting since she was 16.
Well, good for her.
She had the Kiddie Castle program on KDKA TV in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I love all that stuff. It's great. Yeah. Oh, she was in an episode of Silk Stockings, and she was the Mother Goose voice in Mother Goose and Grimm, which I think we call Grimmy over here. So, yeah, it's great. And she was a panellist on The Match Game.
She's done them all, hasn't she? She's done it all.
Yeah, she's been chucked. Oh, all sorts. And the other one, by comparison, Adrienne Armstrong, just a writer, who did much the same, but with Charles in Charge and the appalling Small Wonder on her CV, which I am never doing an episode-by-episode review podcast about, even though it fits in a very similar... world. It's a similar sort of airings on ITV.
I've never seen it. Obviously, I'm aware of Small Wonder, but I don't think I've ever seen it or ever remember even when it was on.
I believe it was that kind of like Saturday tea time that moved to Sunday afternoons like Alf did. And if you don't remember it, just don't remember it. That's good.
Fair enough.
That's a good thing to do. And this has been Far Too Much Waffle without Alf in it. So we need Alf.
Before we kick off the episode, then, I'll just say that from the German DVD, this episode, which was called, what was it called?
For Your Eyes Only.
Is called in German, Ganz im Vertrauen, which means completely in confidence. So if you can take completely in confidence and For Your Eyes Only and put those together, you might have some idea of what the episode is all about.
Well, I'm you know what? I'm just going to go on to IMDb now because I'm very curious what the film For Your Eyes Only was called in German.
Well, I'll try Google whilst you're doing that. For Your Eyes Only movie poster. Hang on, I think I've got a German poster here. In Tödlicher Mission, which means... Hang on. In Tödlicher Mission, which means... Deadly. It means deadly, does Tödlicher.
James Bond, unschlagbar. Er ist wieder da und voll im Einsatz. Explosiv. Attraktiv.
Tja, den Autoschlüssel kann ich wohl vergessen.
James Bond in spannender Mission. In rasanter Mission. In gefährlicher Mission. James Bond in tödlicher Mission.
Wir haben uns übrigens noch nicht bekannt gemacht, Melina. Mein Name ist Bond. James Bond.
A deadly mission, it means. For Your Eyes Only. Oh, it doesn't mean. It was released in Germany as a deadly mission.
And the Alf episode is called?
Completely in confidence.
See, you see, I felt they could have gone there, but they didn't. That's fair enough.
This is a lot of James Bond content in this
well,
episode.
And Alf is definitely not a turd licker, so let's move on. And you know what? No cold open, so we're getting straight into the action of Alf toothpasting an anniversary cake.
He's got a song.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, 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 happy anniversary, happy, 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 happy anniversary.
What's going on here?
The lyrics too complicated? Happy anniversary.
He's got lovely handwriting. As I've already said in a previous episode, his toothpaste cursive is beautiful.
Yes, I feel unlike the pencil, the toothpaste is very much his medium. he doesn't hover like with the pencil.
No, it was all there. It was all there.
So, it is of course Willie and Kate's anniversary, which. When Alf comes out with an anniversary cake and sings Happy Anniversary.
Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary.
And they're going, you think, oh, they're going to say, no, it's not our anniversary for 6 months.
I guess that's exactly what I thought it was, the problem. But it wasn't a problem. They were just going out for tea, as they're in their right to do. And to see Nicholas Nickleby as well. The play, not the man.
Yes, Alf obviously quite sad because he expects to spend the night with them, you know, doing stuff. But he says it'll let them off at the end of the night. What they do is up to them. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Lovely little reference there.
I have to wonder if that is
deliberate.
A pythe. The pythe.
Yeah. I just assumed it was. I assume Americans, they love it, and I'm assuming Paul Fusco is well versed in the world of British absurdist comedy. Maybe that's Mitzi McCall's input to the script.
Maybe. She was on Rowan and Martin's Laughing, after all, so she knows a thing about a counter comedy.
Alf he imagines them getting it on their anniversary, their one night of passion a year.
He don't imagine it. He has watched.
You know he has.
The Wink Wink Nudge Nudge was very nearly my most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week, as we have every week, but not quite so, because I feel for us, the British, maybe for Americans, but you know, they're off to see Nicholas Nickleby, and so Alf is so upset that he ruins the end of the play.
Lovely. Alf is very cultured, it seems. He watched it on PBS, did Nicholas Nickleby, and he's remembered it all as well. So the line... the guy who plays Wackford Squeers sounds like he's from Brooklyn. he says, which is not...
It's my most imperishable pop culture reference of the week.
It's not... All I wrote next to that is it's not the sort of line you'd get in any old sitcom. So I suppose... Is it pop culture?
Wackford Squares is not referenced very often. In fact, I can think of Horrible Histories and Alf. I felt him watching it on PBS. It's not quite impenetrable, but the idea certainly of him watching what is presumably a BBC adaptation of Nicholas Nickleby.
Yeah. Wasn't it the first thing on Channel 4 after Countdown, an adaptation of Nicholas Nickleby with that fella, Roger Rees, in it?
I don't know.
Was it something else? I can't remember.
I don't know. Was it? I did have Richard Whiteley.
Richard Whiteley kicking over into the... let me just check. Nicholas Nickleby, 1982.
Don't forget to write Nicholas, N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S. As I wrote Nicholas Nickleby earlier and was basically someone called Nickleby with no trousers on.
Yeah. I was right. Roger Rees as Nicholas Nickleby in The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby, a 1982 film, Channel 4's first major drama commission, 9 hours, it seems.
Tomorrow on Channel 4, The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby, with a joke for Browdy.
Yeah, I'm damn, but I must take the hand for that.
Yeah, get him at that lodging!
That's not my lodging, thank you.
Nicholas is in love, in the last part of his Life and Adventures, tomorrow.
What more can I say?
7 o'clock, Channel 4.
Say nothing.
Alf is abandoned for the day, which we've established several episodes earlier is quite a risky thing, but tonight they're not bothered.
No, because they've spent $100 per ticket, haven't they? Which is a lot of money in those days.
I'm gonna do the US inflation calculator on in2003.com.
Okay.
So $100 in the year of our Lord 1986.
The year of our Alf Lord.
Alf Lord. That comes to inflation of 179.88%, which makes it $279.88.
Good God.
So just short of 300, yeah.
They really wanted to see Nicholas Nickleby.
They really did. And I looked to see if there was any like famous like touring versions of it, but I couldn't find anything. But that, you know, that's for them to enjoy. And I love the idea of spoiling Nicholas Nickleby.
I know,
ruining the end.
We've seen their hefty library last week in the new den set. They must have a copy of Nicholas Nickleby there, and they must have read it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending.
They must have the full Dickens.
Willie's got the full Dickens.
Willie's full Dickens, and Kate's delighted. this is a high level episode. Alf, once again, has been left alone, so he's bored. And so basically goes, I'll just press this button on the radio, and immediately cuts in, much like last week, where he just goes, I need some money, and then finds an envelope which says, do you want to make some money? And this one, he's like, I'm bored, I want to find a friend. And then he turns the radio on, and someone's going, I'm bored, I'm new in town, and I want a friend.
I'm Dr. Laura Schrock, and we're back with Jody on the line. Are you still there?
I'm here, Dr. Schrock.
Jody, what do you think is the cause of your loneliness?
Well, for one thing, Los Angeles seems so overwhelming. Moving here was like moving to a different planet.
I could relate.
I'm just so afraid of rejection. People react funny when they find out I'm not like them.
I could relate to that, too.
Sometimes you have to risk being hurt if you want things to change. Put yourself out there, Jody. You'll find a friend.
Hey, Jody, you like redheads?
Thanks for listening, Dr. Schrock. Sometimes it's important just to have a caring person to talk to.
Yeah. Stay on the line a second. We have a pass to Magic Mountain for you. Our number, once again, is 555-4455. We'll be right back after this.
It's a very efficient scene. I think we can put it that way. He hears the radio. It's a very efficient scene. He does spend a long time walking from we see the entire walk that Alf makes from the table to the telephone. He then makes the call. Asking to be put through to the woman he's just heard on the radio, who was purporting to be also lonely.
Which, to be fair, you know, GDPR, they will not give her number out.
So they say, well, we'll pass this information on to her and she can call back. And she does, yes. within a, a split second, really.
Yes, she does. She's lonely. She's finished with the radio host, who is called Dr. Schrock.
Dr. Schrock.
Couldn't tell if that was a reference to anything or not. But then, phones back and they become phone chums. And here's where we get to the crux of the plot-style situation.
Yes.
Because...
But brace yourself, listeners, because the drama is about to kick off.
She's only bloody blind, isn't she?
I can't believe it.
She's blind. She's blind. She's super blind.
As Alf says, I've really looked out there.
Yes, it's very much so. And so we cut to presumably the next day or several days on. We're not entirely sure, but Alf's busy cutting his toenails in the living room. You know, standard Alf stuff.
He's just there commentating on his toenail clippings as well, which is terrific. I thoroughly enjoyed him sort of saying the shot is up and it's good, and watching the toenail arc through the sky and landing on whatever delicious treat Kate was at that point bringing into the sitting room. And in fairness to her, she doesn't clout Alf with the tray and say, get out of my house, you freeloading, disgusting head. She just sighs and walks back into the kitchen again.
This is where, I mean, those women from the previous episode for the cosmetics, they'd have been all over that. They wouldn't have minded a few toenails.
No, they'd have
been fine with that. But this is all just a setup because Jodie is about to ring again, the blind woman, and it turns out they've been talking quite a lot, her and Alf, which, you know, is very much the setup with what could have described as a hammer. rather than a tennis racket, smashing that plot point over the line. And, you know, Brian says, "Is Alf getting married?" Which, you know, no, you stupid child. Obviously, he's an Alf.
And Willie and Kurt are concerned about this burgeoning friendship. Saying
yes,
you can't meet Jodie, and both Alf and Brian think this is because they're prejudiced against blind people.
Yes, which I'm going to say now, there is a little bit of that. there's an episode of in fact it's the pilot of Taxi where one of the characters falls in love with the voice of someone. And it turns out when they actually meet up that, unlike being blind, their personal disfigurement is they're fat, you see, unlike their thin voice. So it would progress slightly in that regard. That character's called Angela, incidentally, which is why the theme tune to Taxi is called Angela.
Well, I never did. That
Whereas if it was where it was this, it would be called Jodie.
Yeah.
J-O-D-Y. Yeah. Is that a very American? I suppose it is an American name. I only know one Jodie, and it's a man, so...
I don't think I've ever met a Jodie in my life.
It's not spelled like that, though. So Alf has been telling her all about himself.
Exactly.
Ish.
Now, he's probably Baxter.
What happens when Jodie starts asking questions, like where you came from?
Sure he knows. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
What else did you tell her?
Everything. I told her about my business, wholesale band equipment, and my two lovely children.
Your children?
The twins, from my brief marriage to Kathy Rigby.
Alf, I think it was wrong to lie to her.
I know. But what else could I do?
But eventually Jody's going to learn the truth.
Not if Kathy Rigby keeps her mouth shut.
Which is my impenetrable pop culture reference of the week, Kathy Rigby.
Is this a person that actually exists?
Well, there is a real Kathy Rigby.
Right.
And I couldn't quite ascertain the timeline of how well-known Kathy Rigby would have been or relevant in 1986.
I mean, that's not stopped him before.
But purely on purpose, she hadn't done actually a massive amount in the 80s. She was a gymnast. She competed at the 1968 Olympics.
Right.
And then when that sort of died out when she was 20 or something, she became an actor. And she'd been in like bits parts in things like The $6 Million Man and Chips and stuff like that. And all on panel shows and what have you and things like that. But by 86, she'd become sort of well known for talking about her eating disorders and things like that.
Okay.
So she would have been a known name. But as a choice of reference for Alf to spout as his... the mother of his children, I can't quite work out what, in context, that would have been.
Yeah, it's like doing a sitcom now and said, and the guy comes in, he's called Noel Edmonds. You go, oh, so actually there is a Noel Edmonds, so obviously you're going to change that or it'll be confusing for the audience. So
yeah.
It must be a reference. It must be.
I can only assume it is.
Well, you know, so Alf's basically done lots of lying, which, you know, understandable based on the truth. And now he wants to meet Jodie because, you know, well, actually, I'm going to say something dirty, but I don't think Alf's got that in mind. I think he just wants a pal.
Yeah, I think that's right. There's nothing. No, it's this whole episode is Alf's dickishness is turned right down in this episode. He's a lot sweeter and more considerate than he has been before. So I'm assuming that's all he wants, just somebody to chat to.
Yeah, just a nice pal. Someone to, well, I'm going to say watch telly with, but she can't because she's blind. Like, listen to telly together, I guess. You know, so he wants to see her, and the family understandably say, no,
yeah,
you are an elf. You may not leave and do this. And so Alf sinks into a depression.
He does.
Which we've not seen yet. We've seen sad Alf, but we've not seen depressed Alf yet.
He's still cracking wise, as I believe the kids say, but it's with a slightly morose tone in his voice.
I hate seeing you like this.
I hate to be like this. I feel like Streaky McIntosh.
Streaky who?
McIntosh. Back on Melmac. We were orbit guards together. He didn't have any friends either. Of course, he was obnoxious. Am I obnoxious?
No, Alf, you're not.
Good.
There's not a lot of Willy in this episode for picking the top Willy moment
for it.
But I have selected this scene because it's minimal, but I do like him turning up, Max Wright, as Willy, with a frisbee.
With a frisbee.
Come on, Alf, let's play some frisbee. The idea, I want to see it, and yet I never want to see it because it's that weird short person in the suit again. Yeah. It's like the idea of playing frisbee with someone several feet shorter. I also, like, have they played frisbee before? Is this an ongoing thing?
They had to explain what the old frisbee was, didn't they? Willy said, "I've got the old frisbee out," and Alf didn't really seem to know what the old frisbee was.
No.
So you know, this is we know a lot of stuff has happened off screen with the Tanners and Alf for them to build up this rapport, but I don't think they've played frisbee yet.
They've not had any frisbee tournaments.
No,
it's a shame because you know. Just imagine, there was a lot of Alf video games, which we'll probably come to at some point, but I don't think there was any like Alf sports, you know.
It would have been sensible, wouldn't it?
It would. You could have Melmac sports and all the zany things, you know, that could have done, you know, almost certainly involving fish, you know, that sort of thing, you know, could have happened. And then they could have celebrated by eating cats.
That's exactly what would have happened. Otherwise, that would have been a huge, huge hit on the old Commodore 64 and Amstrad CPC.
Well, there were several video games, but I don't think any of them would have taken the plot from this episode, which is a little bit hackneyed because, you know, it's the, well, she's blind, so she won't know he's an alien thing. And it, basically, he talks about how sad he is being sort of trapped in the house and what have you. And Lynn goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get out of here. I'm going to put you in... in Willy's Mac. No, I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
It's like, the euphemism for something.
Like a tiny Bogart.
He looks like Walk Kermit it. The Frog when he's doing his news reporter thing.
He's news flash. Yeah. So Lynn leads him to the apartment.
I'm assuming Alf will have covered this on his many phone calls with Jodie, but on screen they haven't actually ascertained how blind she is. I mean, she could be blind and still have like peripheral vision. She could have partially sighted. We still don't know. So, and even if she is completely blind, Alf being 2 feet tall
and furry and big nose, snouted.
And possibly, I think he stinks as well. And covered in ticks, as we possibly suggested last week.
He's scratching himself.
I reckon she would realise it's not a human. Blind people aren't stupid.
I agree. I was going to say, like the looking for Lucky, they might think he's a dog, which was given as what he is, you know. And she's gone, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you were a dog. Sort of thing. I think the 80s were just so blind people, it's all blind.
Blind people are blind.
I was about to say there's no light or shade, but literally, there's no light or shade in this situation for Jodie. Because, again, she's blind. So... Alf goes to her apartment to see her, and she comes to the door in what can only be described as a magnificent sweater.
Oh, yes.
The episode needs to be seen just to enjoy the knitwear, I would say.
She's blind, after all, so she doesn't know.
Well, that was I was going to say, is that indicating that she has no idea? When Alf gets into the apartment... He does make a lot of jokes like, it's a beautiful apartment, in case you didn't know, because you're blind bastard, you know. There's quite a few, but nervously, not in a like a negative way, just in a kind of, I'm not sure how to deal with this
exactly.
situation.
He seems to be doing it from a position of goodness rather than making fun of her. Alf from other episodes would have happily let her trip over the chair and laugh himself silly. But here, he's making slight faux pas out of his own... nervousness, and he wants to help, basically, doesn't he? He wants to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say this brings me to Jodie. I think probably the MVP of this episode, which has established.
Without question.
Melmac's very per person, something like that, I don't know. But she gets lots of zingers about being blind, basically. Like, she's not a victim. It's very clear that she's not a victim. She's very happy who she is, what she is. She's just a bit lonely because she's moved to a new place and she doesn't know anybody.
She's a sensible, well-rounded, decent character. You know, she's arguably a more well-rounded character than, say, Brian, for example.
Brian's a homunculus of former boy child actors that have been basically ladled out of some sort of underground cauldron. No, that's not any sort of comparison.
And so I completely agree with you. They built her a set as well, so, you know.
Big living room set, and they have a nice time, to the point where Alf loses track of time by listening to her record collection. We think that's what happens anyway.
There's a very, very abrupt edit where suddenly, it's like there's no... care or they've got the scissors and they've sliced the episode in half because I believe they played the Chipmunks and Alvin, Simon and Theodore would not clear it.
I'm short.
I'm blind.
You win.
But how about some music?
Oh, the stereo's to your right.
Thanks. If you hadn't said anything, I might have played the lamp. What would you like to hear?
Oh, anything by the Archies or the Partridge Family.
I don't have any of those.
Well, then just stick on anything by the Chipmunks.
Christmas, Christmas time is near. Time for toys.
She offered him food as well, which he ate with aplomb.
He scarfs.
And she says, would you like some shrimp hors d'oeuvre? And Alf then goes, shrimp or what? You know, he's making a joke there. But he wasn't making a joke. He was very confused. And despite the fact 15 minutes ago, he'd been banging on about Coquille Saint-Jacques that he'd made for Willie and Mrs. Willie's anniversary.
Maybe he got the advanced cookbook first, you know. And he hasn't learnt toast.
There was no coherence about Alf's culinary expertise in this episode.
Did that spoil the episode for you?
A little bit.
I think that's fair enough. So, obviously, they have a nice time sat listening to the Chipmunks, nattering as time passes.
What a world. What a life, eh? I'd enjoy that.
You do.
I do.
I refuse to believe that you don't already. So, Lynn has helped him break out because Willie and Kate are out. She's sneaking Alf out, but he has to be back for a certain time or they'll get busted. So she's banging on the door saying, no, come on, Alf, it's time to go. We have to go.
At which point, Jodie goes, who's that at the door? It's Kathy Rigby, isn't it? I.e. Alf's wife.
Yes.
So she's obviously as clueless about who Kathy Rigby is as we are.
Yes. And Alf, of course, says, no, it's a 16-year-old I live with, which is... and then Victor Meldrew walks in, and of course, it's entirely innocent. It's a kind of like, we know the humour. And she's... understandably very conflicted about continuing a friendship with Alf.
Yeah, we know this. We know this because they're playing serious music.
The sad music has to come out. Yeah, which like, and he's like, I really care about you enough to have you return in season two, twice, and then no more. Then never mentioned again.
But, yeah, it feels at this point like she's going to become a recurring character in it, a sort of pal of Alf, but she never really does. And obviously she comes back a couple of times later in the seasons.
Which you almost think that would be the series.
Mm. Yes.
Alf living with a blind person.
That's a great idea.
She'd eventually have to find out, but like three seasons in or something like that. And people are always coming around and saying, where's Alf? And he's he's like pretending to be a rug or something. You know, it writes itself, basically.
Get Paul Fusco on the phone. He's always been keen to get an update.
It's fair. Now, I haven't been able to ascertain, sounds a bit rude, if the actress playing Geordie was an actual blind, Andrea Covell. I don't think she was.
I don't think she was. She doesn't seem to have done a great deal else. She's worked behind the scenes on Alf as a PA or something, as far as I can root out of the internet. But no. No, I don't think she was.
Which, I don't know if that undercuts a little bit, like a blind person taking the piss out of themselves when they're not blind. I don't know if that counts a little bit.
It was the 80s. It was a different time. If they made it now, you couldn't do it.
They'd have to have a real Melmackian and, yeah,
you absolutely would. Chaos. You absolutely would.
Chaos. Yeah. and I think we're going to agree that this is kind of, I'm almost amazed it took six episodes for to do the Alf is with someone who can't tell he's an alien thing, which is kind of a theme which reoccurs throughout the series in different ways.
Again, there's two things about this. One was, as we mentioned earlier, there's two female writers on this, which may have accounted for the slightly softer Alf we've seen this week. But also, it could have been a lot sappier. This could have been one of those very special episodes. And it wasn't. There's a bit of sentimentality, I think, in the episode, but it's not nowhere near as sappy as it could have been.
No.
There's still wisecracking throughout. But you see, Alf seems to care a bit more rather than his previous nihilistic approach to existence.
Will that kind considerate Alf return in the next episode? Probably not.
We simply don't know.
It's like spinning the wheel. The wheel of Alf's and hoping it's a good one it lands on. So to find out, obviously, you'll have to join us next week for another episode of Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
And if you want to find us on the internet, we can.
Yeah.
You're allowed.
Type in Alfsplaining and things will probably pop up.
Yeah, but not that.
No.
Wink, nudge, as Alf said.
Alf's furry alien penis waving around. And, you know, when he got into Jodie's house, he took his hat and coat off. So essentially he was stripping naked, basically, when he got in there.
Yeah.
She must have realised.
Maybe she did. She was totally into it.
Possibly.
We don't know. Goodbye. Stay alert for elves in the nude.
Oh,
turn into a police five. Isn't it?
Alf, we don't have anything against Geordie.
Great. Can I borrow the car?
No.
I won't let Geordie drive.